This podcast is brought to you in part by ChoiceRealtyConnect.com. Whether you're buying or selling a home, condo, or any type of property, trust Amanda to help match you with up to three top agents in your area. ChoiceRealtyConnect.com. Hey, all you rock stars from Washington, D.C. This is the Rock on the Money podcast, episode 127. Amanda. Time talking about saving, investing, and protecting all of your hard-earned monies. We're here to coach you along that path to retirement and financial independence. I'm Craig, your Dave Ramsey Master Financial Coach. Along with Amanda, she is a corporate in-house lawyer and real estate referral agent, and we're very grateful you've joined us. Check us out on Facebook at facebook.com/rockonthemoney or the website at rockonthemoney.com. Hi, Amanda.
Hey, Craig. How's it going?
You sounding good.
Yeah.
Are you to the humidity stage yet? Or are you still in the...
It's here. Yeah, it just keeps getting worse every day.
So that means it's heading this way, heading north.
Probably.
No, the weather's been here great. This is a great time of year, but yeah, it's coming. I know within 1 month we'll be miserable too. What we got in this podcast?
We're going to cover a number of social media questions again. Full gamut.
Great. Can you... let's do the first one.
Okay, I'm trying to not ask a stupid question, but I'm afraid it might be. If you plan to retire around 2039-ish, would you stick with these target date funds around that year or choose something with more risk? I haven't put a lot of thought into this before, but following this group has made me think I should maybe be doing something different.
Oh.
So 2039 is still, what, 18 years from now?
That's a long time away, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I wouldn't be in the target date funds until you're within 5 to 10 years of retirement. We've talked about this quite a bit on our last episode.
Yeah. So we want to get in the target date fund within 6 years of your retirement date. So if they want to retire at 2039, around 2033, math is hard, Amanda. 2033 is when you want to start considering backing off the accelerator, which is what I kind of call it. You don't want to be in the S&P 500 or all these funds that beat it because they are aggressive and things can change rapidly. We want to back it off. So that's what the target date fund. So then you want to get in the 2039 fund. But before that, no accelerator to the floor. Keep on going. No matter what happens, don't try and time the market. Stop looking at it. Just keep putting your money. Remember, the number one reason people don't have money in their retirement accounts is they don't put money in there.
Right. Yeah. So a couple of reasons we don't like target date funds. One, they don't perform better than the S&P 500.
Yeah.
Two, they don't perform very well at all.
Yeah, they're not.
So you're actually, generally speaking, you may be losing money against the cost of inflation.
There you go. Some of those have more fees than others, by the way. The Vanguard ones are good, but there are a lot of them out there. And these companies really push these. That's usually the default you get when you get hired somewhere. That's just the default they put you in. So we want to get out of that and start investing properly.
Right.
Question number two.
Amanda and Craig, yes. I've had my credit cards paid off for a while now. I logged in to check my credit report and it has significantly decreased because of, so I think they mean credit score, not credit report. Yeah. And it has significantly decreased because of lack of credit card use. Almost every credit card company lowered my spending limit by thousands and it dropped my credit score big time. Should I be worried about this? What can I do to not have this happen and not be in debt to credit card companies? What a twisted concept.
It is a twisted concept. Just understand what a credit score really is what this comes down to. Mm-hmm. It's your available credit and your usage of it. So you're not using it. So they're kind of giving a signal, well, this person kind of like is not going to help us make money. So they're kind of lowering your score down. What you can do is you can like use your credit card at the gas pump if you're really worried about the score.
Or use it to automatically pay your monthly like electric bill.
Okay, yeah, and some cards, you know, will get points. I'm not a points guy. Some people are. I don't believe in points things. Matter of fact, so there's an airline, which I've had this card for a while, right? And I get points from it. Overnight on Tuesday, in the middle of the night, quietly, and I have, Amanda, I have 1.5 million points on this credit card for flying miles on Southwest. Overnight, what do you think they did? And didn't even tell us.
They devalued the
points.
Did you
hear about this?
I did.
I was like, and you know what? They did this 2 years ago again. Another 6% thing they did back in 2019, I think. I'm like, my 1.5 million points, I might as well just not even deal with this because it's stupid. I'm thinking about cashing them out. Let me get a bunch of gift cards and stuff and turn that into cash, whatever, and be done with this point thing. Because a lot of these travel companies have gotten away or devalued points coming out of the coronavirus thing because they need to make money back up. So that's what's going on. And trust me, and I have nothing against Southwest. I love flying Southwest. But they don't put that back. It never goes back the other way. That is now gone. That 6%. That devalue. It was like overnight. They're not going to put that back.
No.
No. And they didn't even tell us. And I got 1.5 million. I'm in the upper tier. They didn't even tell me. There was no email. Nothing.
And travel points are, generally speaking, the worst bang for your buck.
But most people that I am friends with, that's what they're going for. They think, oh, well, that's what we used to our trip to Disney. Or no, it's terrible, guys. But anyway, going back to this. Don't use credit cards for points. Just stay out of that because it's gotten so bad in the last 2 weeks. That's the only reason I brought this up, Amanda, because last 2 weeks it's gotten really bad with points. It's literally being devalued everywhere. Southwest is just one. Yeah, just if you're really worried about your credit score, I'm not worried about my credit score. I just like go on with life because I don't use credit. So
yeah, I mean, the only reason you'd need it, is if you plan to open another credit card, which you're not going to. Yeah. If you plan to take out a car loan, which you're going to pay cash for your car. So what difference does it make?
And anything above, what, 750 is the same as having 830.
I think 760, but yeah, close enough.
Yeah, around that. So yeah, you're in the top tier anyway, so it doesn't matter. I doubt you're below 760 if you're not using it. Question number three, Amanda. What car do you drive? Or what did you drive for your everyday millionaire journey as you're getting out of debt? I drive for my main job, my own vehicle, and deliver at night. I'm putting about 1,000 miles a week on my car. Would you recommend, oh my goodness. Would you recommend a hybrid or a Prius? By the way, that's the same thing. Something along the lines, would you worry about the cost of hybrid parts from wear and tear, make it not worth buying one?
So I don't know what the cost of hybrid parts are or what point they need to be replaced because of wear and tear.
The battery is what I think it's 7 years on the battery on those Priuses.
Yeah, I think it's more the battery on those as well, which I don't think is tied to mileage so much as time.
Right. And the amount of times it's being charged and the batteries like on your phone. I don't know. A lot of people know this. See, this is my geekery coming out. This is where the Prius thing comes in. But on your phone, these lithium ion batteries have a number of full charges. That's how it's scaled. So on your phone, if you literally drained out your battery and recharged it 800 times, 800 is the gauge number. That is how long that battery will last. And once you've passed that number, it can't charge anymore. That's the average. So, but you have to like go all the way down. That's why you should keep your phone charged as much as you can. If you have ability to charge it, just put it on a charger. Like I have a stand on my desk. I just put it on the charger stand all the time. So going back to the Prius, it would be how many times to discharge and recharge that battery as you're driving. That's where that comes from. Mm-hmm. So the battery, if I recall, on a Prius is 7 years.
Yeah, but I mean, so the alternative here is having just a regular vehicle, and at 1,000 miles a week, that's 52,000 miles a year, you're having wear and tear on any vehicle.
So I'm assuming they say deliver at night. They're either doing pizzas or Uber Eats or something like that is what they're doing. So this is the case what we talked about like a week ago, where you need to sit down and do a spreadsheet. How much am I making? Remember the cost per mile? What did I say? 45 cents a mile is the average overall cost of ownership of a car. Really look at how much are you really making doing that delivery night. It looks good as you're getting these checks, but as you're putting these miles on and you're depreciating your vehicle and what is the real benefit of delivering at night? Does that make sense, Amanda?
It does.
And a lot of people don't look at this, and there's plenty of videos on YouTube about this topic of being an Uber driver, Uber Eats. Really, really consider how much am I really making? You think you're making $1,000 a month by doing Uber at night, but if you go back and look, you're actually not making that. You really got to look at that, guys. So there's your homework. Hey, let's take a quick break. We got three more great questions coming up. You're listening to Rock on Money.
Hey there, rock stars. Amanda here with ChoiceRealtyConnect.com. Are you about to sell your home or excited to buy your first or next home? I'll be honored to help you find an expert to work with you in your local area. At ChoiceRealtyConnect.com, I'll help match you with up to 3 qualified licensed agents that specialize in your specific market. Choice Realty Connect serves every zip code in all 50 states with a network of 15,000 top-rated agents that are ranked within the top 5% for sales. Whether you're selling or looking for a condo, new construction, retreat, vacation property, or you're a first-time home buyer, let me connect you with the perfect top agent today. ChoiceRealtyConnect.com. The choice is yours.
Amanda Braun is a Florida licensed real estate with a brokerage, Realty Connect.
Rockland, USA.
Everybody, welcome back to Rock on the Money with Amanda and Craig. Check us out on Facebook at facebook.com/rockonthemoney. We need those likes and follows jacked up on that page, Amanda.
Yeah,
I need 10,000 followers, legal followers. That's my goal. We need that for what we need to do next. And the website at rockonthemoney.com. Hey, we got 3 more questions, Amanda. What's this next
actually,
one?
We have 4. I added a bonus question.
Look at you being all over and above. What's question number 4?
All right. Question 4. With the dollar depreciating over time, what is your net worth goal at age 65, and are you on target? I mentioned recently that $1 million US is a lame goal, and depending on which area you live in, is not even that much. True. A lot of folks disagree with me, which is perfectly fine.
Well, they do have a valid point. Your where you live has a lot to do with how much you need in retirement. It's your cost of living. No, that's actually a valid point. $1 million in New York City or San Francisco is not going to get you very far in retirement at all. Where if you live in Oklahoma City, with me, and I'm not putting down Oklahoma City, but you can go to the federal government website and see what the cost of living is for different areas, like per diem rates. Look at per diem rates. It pretty much tells you what's going on there for hotels and just eating or whatever. But there are plenty of lists out there. So we're not putting down the Midwest, but that's just the way it is. Or Florida, you know. So he is right. $1 million does not mean anything. What do you need? What do you need from what you talk about? Your budget. What is it going to cost per month to live in retirement with groceries? Blah, blah, blah. Are you still have debt? Do you still have a mortgage? Are you going to be paying rent? That's why we want you to pay off that house before retirement. Get that biggest expense out of there.
I'll tell you, when I had no money, $1 million seemed like a lot of money. Once you get closer to that, or you pass that, you start to feel like, oh, I still have no money.
No, I agree with you. It doesn't feel like you have enough, because then you realize that only gives you $40,000 a year with our 4% rule, which we talked about. Mm-hmm. So you're like, well, crap, that's only $40,000. So then you want to keep going and going. That's why we don't lay off the accelerator. Yeah, once you hit $1 million, you celebrate and pat yourself on the back for like 2 weeks. Then you're like, okay, that was cool. Cool story. Cool story, bro. You start doing math like, oh, crap, now I need more. But that's right. $1 million is not your goal. That's not your goal. You need to come up with your own number. What is your number? And you got to figure that out. What is your lifestyle now? By doing your budget, it's the only way you know what that number is. You got to figure it out. And going through the baby steps, get that house paid off. Get those investments going. Reliable investments, not Bitcoin. I don't care if Bitcoin keeps going up to the stratosphere. I could care less. Get the basics done first as your foundation. Then you can do all that other stuff. But yeah, you got to go through these steps. Then you figure out what your number is and then multiply it out with a 4% withdrawal rate. Then you know what your goal should be. Everyone's going to be different. I agree with this guy. Hey, you know what? He shouldn't be talking to these other people then. A lot of folks disagree with me.
Yeah, a lot of folks don't know what they're talking about.
Well, 70% of people came and pay a $500 emergency in America. So,
right.
So, yeah, those are the folks you don't want to be talking to. Yeah, you surround yourself with smart people that agree with you on your financial goals, and that's who you want to be around. And your spouse or partner. That's the people you want around. If you don't, you're going to end up more like them.
Question five. I'm wanting to open a brokerage account. Which company should I go with and why?
Ooh, okay, Amanda, it's not really a stock question directly. It's an indirect one. Mm-hmm. But I think it has some valid points. That's why I included it. So don't get mad at me.
Nope, not mad.
Okay, cool. I'm just going to say what I use and why, and you can do yours as well if you want. I have one with Schwab. I have an older one with E-Trade, but it's got, it was more of a custodial account. Mm-hmm. It's still there. So, but otherwise, I use Schwab, and the reason is because that's where all my other accounts are at. So
and they're low cost.
And they're very low cost provider. And by the way, at times they don't even charge for transactions. It's very low fees. I like keeping everything in one place. I don't like things spread out all over the place. I would have no problem doing Fidelity or Schwab, either one. They're both our low cost providers that we like, and Vanguard, but Vanguard is not really a stock trading platform. But Schwab did buy out TD Ameritrade. A lot of traders like TD Ameritrade's platform. So now that Schwab has purchased them, everyone's hoping all those features will be integrated into Schwab this year in 2021. But anyway, that's just something to consider. But I like keeping everything in one place. How about you?
Yeah, I'm the same way. But again, it would be with one of the three low-cost providers, Vanguard, Fidelity, and Schwab. I have most of my accounts with Schwab, but I do have my 401k with Fidelity. And that's just because that's where my employer decided to put our retirement funds.
Now, my 457 is with T. Rowe Price, And then you can trade stocks within your 457. When you apply for that, guess who they use? They use Schwab. Another 401k that I'm with an airline, and you can trade stocks with your 401k. You go up to 50% of your balance of your 401k, and guess who they use? Schwab.
Yeah.
It all ends up at Schwab. So I think we agreed on that one. Look at us agreeing on everything.
Look at that. All right. Question six. I have a 403B in Lincoln Financial from my first job and a 401k in Vanguard from my current job switching companies. Best to move both to a Roth IRA? I'm thinking Vanguard from previous post. Thanks for the input.
I think they answered the question.
Well, so I think they're a little confused. So I don't know why they would want to switch their 401k to a Roth IRA, their current one. That doesn't make sense to me. So I would just leave your 401k from your current job alone, keep contributing to it in a 401k, and no need to move it to a Roth IRA.
Right.
But your 403b in the Lincoln Financial account, that to me makes sense to move it to an IRA. Now, whether or not that's traditional or Roth, it's going to depend on whether or not your contributions to the 403b were traditional or Roth. So you're going to want to do a conversion like to like. If you have traditional 403b, you'd want to move it to a traditional IRA unless you can afford to pay the taxes on any gains to convert it to a Roth IRA now.
And if you contact Fidelity, Schwab, or Vanguard, they're very helpful in helping you take care of that.
It's yes, like you would want to contact the company of where the money would be moved to,
right,
because they are happy, more than happy, to help you figure out how to get that money away from someone else and put it into their accounts.
It would be like you're a Verizon customer and you call T-Mobile. T-Mobile would be very glad to bring you over. Same way with financial institutions. It's really
But I think
simple.
This is really important to understand that if you convert traditional to Roth, you have to pay income tax, regular income tax on all of the gains that you have accrued in that account in this tax year. And it's going to be added to your ordinary income, which may make you ineligible to make any other Roth contributions during the year.
Outstanding point. What is your bonus question, Amanda?
Yeah, so I got this one personally this week. And the question is, I have all bills paid off. I have a 1-year emergency fund. I have paid off my mortgage. So if we're tracking against the baby steps, we're like, check, 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 right?
Oh, yeah. We're like,
3 years ago, I was a financial mess. My credit score was 540. Now I'm 735. I'm contributing 15% to my 401k. Check.
Yep. I mean,
but I'm upping that soon. My question is, I decided to buy something that I really wanted. I had it had a hefty price tag, $2,500. As soon as I pulled the trigger, I got very high anxiety, like I had done something wrong. Did I? I feel so guilty.
Okay. I have an answer in my head, so I will not change it based on what you say.
Okay.
Yeah. Do you want me to say first, or you want to do yours first?
I can tell you exactly what I told this person.
Go ahead.
So I said, you know, it sounds like you've worked very hard to turn around your financial situation, and you've now treated yourself to a rare indulgence. So let's step through what happened here. This person paid off all their debt.
Right.
So they mastered baby step two. They then created a 1-year emergency fund. So that's more than 6 months of emergency fund. Check to baby step number three. They moved on to baby step four, which is 15% contributions to your retirement accounts, paid off their mortgage. That's baby. So they've done 4 and 5, mortgage paid off. That's step five. Sounds like they don't have to contribute to education for any child. So step six is not applicable. They're up to step seven. That is the golden period when you're allowed to indulge.
Correct.
So I see nothing wrong with this. They're exactly where they should be. And it's okay to actually enjoy your money now and then. At this stage, I believe in spending extravagantly on what really matters whilst continuing to cut expenses drastically in areas that don't give you that joy.
Well, you took an answer.
Okay. Well, but so then I asked this person, just out of curiosity, what they bought.
I was going to ask you, all right, what'd they get? What'd they get?
Yeah, because it doesn't change my answer at
all. Right.
But just, I was just purely curious.
Here's a refrigerator, $2,500.
Ended up being a puppy, a sheepadoodle. Oh,
see, now that brings a lot of joy.
It does bring a lot of joy. And she also indicated that they've now budgeted the expenses that come along with this dog into their monthly budget.
There are a lot of expenses with a pup. Mm-hmm. A lot. Here's the last thing I like about, I agree 1,000,000% of what you said. I was all for it.
Yeah.
The last part I like is they felt guilty.
Yes.
I'm good with that because I want them to because here's the problem when people call like Dave Ramsey show or some of the other shows and people, they get like $1-2 million and then they have a hard time spending it.
Mm-hmm.
It's weird. People think, well, you got all this money. Why don't you spend it? Well, people, they go through all this work and now they have it like, but they know what it felt like back then when they were a financial
mess. You never
want
to be in that position again.
And you don't want to run out of money. You don't want to go back. I personally am in that situation where I can't spend money.
Yeah.
And it's weird. And I have no reason. I'm retired. But, I mean, the pandemic actually helped a lot, Amanda, actually, because I had no reason to buy so many money. But it is very common for people that go through all the work. They got themselves out of debt. They go through all the baby steps. And now they have 1, 2, 3, whatever. And now they can't spend the money. And because they don't flash it around. They don't flash their money. They drive a Camry. They drive a Honda Accord. They don't buy what you think a millionaire is. That's in Millionaire Next Door, Everyday Millionaire. So, I mean, it's in all these books. It's not what you think.
Yeah.
The people that are millionaires are not who you think they are.
But the important thing here to me is that you need to figure out what your priorities are.
Yes.
You can't spend extravagantly on everything or that will put you right back where you started. So you need to decide what gives me joy, right? And that's where I'm going to spend money extravagantly and guilt-free. And then in other areas, I'm going to be super, you know, cut back. And it's conscious spending is what it is, right? You're consciously spending in areas that give you pleasure and then consciously continuing to cut back and manage your expenses in other areas. Like if you really like this puppy and that's what you want to spend all your money on, that's great. But you don't care so much about living in a big fancy house, then get a studio apartment, you know?
Yeah.
That's how you offset.
They were a financial mess and you literally rewire your brain to treat money differently is how this works. Mm-hmm. Now, I love that they felt guilty, but they shouldn't. They should buy this. Well, they did. What kind of puppy was it?
Sheepadoodle.
What's a sheepadoodle?
I don't know, but it's cute. She sent me pictures.
Is that a sheepdog poodle mix, I guess?
I think it's a golden doodle type mix.
Oh, those are the ones that they don't have. They're allergy resistant and who knows? Oh, man. Well,
yeah, very cute.
Aw. Well, that's a very nice way of ending this. A positive note.
Yeah.
See, we're
But that step seven is to... So what is the exact step seven wording, Craig?
To live like no one else.
Sure.
No, I mean, it is.
To give generously, to enjoy your money.
and live like no one else. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's it. And to give. Like every now and then, I may have paid for another table's dinner at a restaurant. Mm-hmm. You know, you see a family over there, you say, eh. You don't want to stereotype. You're like, you know what? Just pay it. Just, you know, tell them, bring me a check. Blah, blah, blah. You know, that's what people do. That's what they do. It's fun. It's fun. It is fun. You would kill me. Like, what do you mean?
I was just thinking, wow, if a strange man paid for my dinner, I'd be like, what a creep.
I know. Yeah, look at that old creep over there.
What does he want?
Yeah. Creep. Hey, wait a minute, you called me old?
No, of course not.
Yeah, thanks.
Thanks a lot.
All right. And we won't even talk about my blonde hair. We'll save that for another day. All right. Okay. We'll save that for next episode. Thank you, Amanda.
You can find Amanda on Instagram and Twitter at Agile Amanda. And you can find me on all of your favorite social media platforms at Rockland USA. Don't forget, check out the website and subscribe to the podcast. All the links are right there on the front page, rockonthemoney.com. Please subscribe and leave comments to our podcast on Apple, Google, Spotify, or even your favorite app that you got right there on your phone. Those help us out a lot. If you're ever looking for a specific topic or content that we've produced over time, just go to the website and in the search bar, just type in your topic, be it 401k, stimulus check, or anything, and everything comes right up for you. We have so much gratitude that you've taken the time out of your day to listen to our podcast while you're walking, driving, traveling, or whatever you're doing. Please send us an email. Let us know how you're doing out there. Podcast at rocklandusa.com. So long, everybody. Thank you very much again. We'll see you again next time. All opinions expressed by the host are solely their own and do not reflect the views of any company, affiliates, or advertisers. Investments or strategies mentioned in the show may not be suitable for you. Before acting on any information in the show, you should consider whether it is suitable for your particular circumstances and strongly consider seeking advice from your own financial or investment advisor.